fellow Freedom fans. You're listening to Preservative Talk Radio, brought to you by Freedom Ministries, where we confront the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com. Now let's go to our pre-recorded broadcast. And this is David Allen Carmichael coming back to you with this. Yes, it is the Faith and Freedom Show. And intending it very much to be preservative. Little salt, little light. Hopefully that's true. That's what we do. You can give us a call. Write this down. It is toll-free. Get ready. You may be wanting to voice your opinion in my fairness doctrine, which is to utilize the toll-free number. It's 888-248-2046. 888-248-2046. Of course, you can contact us on the website, preservativetalkradio.com. If you'd like to click in the link there and send an email, then please do that. On Friday or Thursday, I just haphazardly started talking about something that had just shown up in the news. And I was discussing some principles of law and government and obligation. And all of a sudden, I hit that topic and it was just sweet. Turns out I lost the digital recording on all three segments. I used a new wiring technique, of course. That's what I did, and I failed. I had total, absolute fail. So I didn't record the show. So I'm actually going to have to do the show again. But today I had somebody came to me. My daughter's involved in a ministry freeing captives, and it's to victims of human trafficking. She helps support ministries and organizations that are there for the sake of rescuing those who are victims of human trafficking. Christian organizations in particular. They're having a lobby day in the capital where my daughter is, in Virginia. And so she was invited to go lobby on certain things, and she had somebody was sending an article to her about a human trafficking statute or bill that was proposed by the Senate, and it was the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. Somebody made a scathing accusation that there was that the bill was held up, was made to not be able to continue on in its processing or its processes in this session of Congress, and it was due to the Obama administration getting even with the Catholic Church, who spoke negatively about his position on the in utero infanticide. So my daughter was telling me about this. I said, well, is that true? If that's true, I mean, I could see how that happened. Okay, a voice vote where it's possible a majority might have voted for something in one way, and whoever's listening says that the vote went the other way because there's no real record of it. So there are some dangerous things that can happen in voice votes and committees and all kinds of stuff. So I said, well, what's the rest of the story? Is it true? If it's true, well, then what you're going to want to do is know all the facts. And then what you do is connect facts and communicate it to whoever needs to be communicated. So we checked it out. And this is going someplace. It caused me to read what is in the General Assembly of Tennessee. What are the bills that are before the Tennessee legislature? But before, this is important. Actually, the most important thing I'm going to say is this next thing for this entire hour. And I forgot to say it first, and I apologize to the family of Randall Lynn Mayo of Saudi Daisy. I found out today, and as many of us did, if you were checking out some of the news agencies in the area, Randall Lynn Mayo, 49 years old, of Saudi Daisy, died Friday in Chattanooga Hospital following a vehicle accident. So I just encourage those who know the family of Randall Lynn Mayo of Saudi Daisy to encourage his family, at times like this. And today the funeral was held. I guess there were times, I'm sure, that maybe their food was brought, things. Just be mindful of the family of Randall Lynn Mayo as he died in a funeral because of a funeral accident. Funeral services were today at 11 o'clock in one of the sponsors of this Copperhead Radio, Williamson Funeral Home. We appreciate them for ministering to the family, again, of Randall Lynn Mayo. And our heart goes out to them today as Liberty Works Radio Network. That's in the news, and it's somebody in the community. So this is something to think about. Remember your neighbor. And as we do, then let's... One of the things that I'm encouraged, somebody said something about I asked somebody, you know how you say, well, how was your, somebody asked me, how was your Christmas vacation time? And I said, well, that was great. It's nice and relaxing. How was yours? Oh, it was weird. And I said, how was it weird? Well, he said, my grandmother died. I said, well, that's too bad. She goes, no, really. She called everybody else up in the family and said, I'm not going to make it through the week. So these are the things I want to tell you before I go. And she died. She just up and died. You know, she just knew it. She had a little chest congestion or something was going on. But she communicated to her family. So it was kind of a happy, you know, the happy sad. She walked with Jesus. She knew the Lord. She had his grace on her life. So, and it was kind of a almost like, man, we're going to miss her. And in some sense, it's a relief. But we know, man, she called the family this week and said, hey, I'm ready to go. And by the way, I'll be out of here. And I want the following thing to happen, you know. The end of this week when I'm having a funeral, I want the following activities happen. She's right on top of things and was ready to go. And I was reminded that when Jesus was talking about those who have passed away, you know, he was talking about things in the past. You know, they wondered if how could he know what Abraham thought or Moses or anybody? Well, he said that he responded to that our God is the God of the living and not of the dead, letting them know, reminding them, you don't just die. Your physical body, this part of the person you are, this manifest, one part of the manifestation of who you are, will rot, will change. But ultimately, the real person has an eternity to face. And of course, there's this thing called the lake which burns with fire, which is the second death. So there is a separation factor that will happen for eternity. So it'd be hate. It would just be horrible to exist outside the presence of God. It would be bad. So I had to mention that as a reminder. He's a God of the living and not of the dead. So those who pass on really have an opportunity for us to meet, or for whatever, their presence with the Lord possibilities are great. All that being said, I need to tell you what happened. I checked out the statute. They said, oh, the statute didn't pass. So I told my daughter to go do research. And she came back. She said, man, I'm really having trouble finding anything on this, anything really tangible. I'm having trouble finding the bill that was supposed to be in Congress and whatever. And I said, well, it's a foreign thing. It's probably Senate. Sure enough, it's in the Senate. I said, well, what does it look? Well, she finally found the text of this bill that didn't pass. And she was really confused. She hadn't seen anything just like it before. The whole first half of this 140-page document was it basically lining out everything, a whole bunch of stuff, and then introducing this new stuff, a whole new plan. And I said, well, if you look at this, you can tell these letter characters here, they're in the Courier font. That means there's already a law that says this. And they're striking out something that's already law. And see this stuff in italics? This is all the new stuff. Now, in you know, states like Virginia, Tennessee, place like that with little common law influence, you would have a bill if the law was already there, and then that place that has been changed, it actually has a line through it, and then the new stuff right next to it, showing you what replaces it, instead of the first half of the document telling you what's going to be gone, and then the new part of the document telling you what's new. It's very hard to pay attention to what's going on. I told her it's completely satanic, the way Congress works. It's a little hotbed of deception and the way things go together. That's why they get things done through backroom deals, and somebody really doesn't know what's just happened, and they voted on something that turned out to be a dangerous innovation. So those are the kind of things that happen. So I had a chance to talk to her about that. And I said, well, what we want to do, and we're going to have to do this over the next couple of months because the session of Congress is closed. This is going to come up again. It is an important thing. And it looks like you already had law that was for the purpose of protecting victims of human trafficking and enforcement against those human traffickers. That's a significant part of the immigration issue, is the criminals who are, you know, marketing and engaging in the commerce of souls. And kidnapping and all kinds of, you know, sexual trafficking and just all kinds of things. So I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, here over the next couple of months, I'm going to take an opportunity to read what's already there. I'm going to take a highlighter and I'm going to say, oh, this is good. This is constitutional. This supports the cause. here's something that probably ought to be changed because I think it's a little bit dangerous. Okay, I'm going to look at that. Then I'm going to look at this new innovation side by side and say, if this new innovation solves a problem, because really you shouldn't have a new innovation. Those who founded this country and frame the governments, both of the United States and Tennessee, we have a mindset of understanding you do not introduce into civil law, the frame of civil statutes, things that are an innovation. You want to take what is old and true and works and is functional and right and modify it only as necessary to make sure you're covering what needs to be covered without overdoing it. And that's really the principle that you should go to the legislation, is to avoid and to check every dangerous innovation, said Sir William Blackstone. So I said, what we're going to do is we're going to look at this bill and we're going to see, is this new thing maybe something weird? Maybe this forces different parts of the government to implement policies that are derived in some foreign little UN committee someplace. In other words, does the statute say the following people or persons or states or whatever shall do the following thing in accordance with this foreign committee? Like you've got a city council in Burma, I don't know, or Brussels, who's making a determination of what ultimately is going to have to happen in the city of Chattanooga. So I said, let's look at that and see what it is. Why? I said, I don't know that I've seen anything where they just strike everything out and rewrite a new thing that has not been seriously undermining of law and the purpose of government. So that's what I told her, and that's what we're going to do. Now what it did, it caused me to check to see the status of Tennessee. So I went to the Tennessee General Assembly website today. Yes, I did. I did, and I was reading there's 11 bills that are proposed for the Senate. And I'm going to read those today. And they're actually short and sweet. They're very nice. I love the way they did it. And they're in some ways kind of cute and neat. And in some ways, I was kind of cracking up. And in another way, I got to a couple of bills and I thought, hey, something's a little bit schizophrenic here. Something is very schizophrenic. We shall not do the following thing unless this other person who's completely outside the jurisdiction of us tells us we should do it. Well, that's a little bit weird. You know, you take charge over your own thing, your own group and your own state and say what shall not happen unless somebody else tells us to. That's weird. What's the Constitution say? Is Congress? Are the secretaries of various federal departments in charge of Tennessee? Are those who write the laws of Tennessee on their knees to federal agencies? What is the role? What is the purpose? I'm going to engage these issues on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. I had a conversation with a young man the other day, and I explained to him what I understand, what I've learned in the Bible, is that there's an authority structure. God has instituted law, and he has delegated authority. He's delegated boundaries, and there's certain things we can do, and there's certain things we can't. And everything, if the government, any agency or agent of the government does something that I don't have the authority to do personally, then most likely they don't have the authority to do it. If I don't have the authority, a God-given right, benefit from Almighty God to do a particular thing, how would I have the authority to delegate it to a legislature or an executive or judiciary? David Allen Carmichael, this is My Preservative Talk Radio for Liberty Works Radio Network. We're going to take a break and be right back.